B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Tom Kiefer is my guest today in the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Of course, his latest record is called Rise, and that's been out since fall of 2019. It's a killer record if you get a chance to check it out. His band is just firing on all cylinders, and they're not only good in the studio and good on stage, they're also friends off the stage and on the bus.
It's rare, I think, you know, when a band just is really has the chemistry on and off stage. You know, we just get along incredibly well off stage.
We talk about some of his favorite singers and songwriters, even get into documentaries, you know, Spinal Tap or Decline of the Western Civilization. And what band should have a documentary made about them that he'd like to see?
I think Guns N' Roses would probably be an interesting documentary. If there hasn't been one already, I don't know. But that certainly was one of my favorites from the era.
Plus, we flash back to 1989 for a true highlight of Tom's career with the band Cinderella.
That was just an incredible event to be a part of. I always, you know, people say, what's the highlight of your career? I mean, there's been so many, but I always list that as one of them because it was such a kind of like the Woodstock of, you know, for them over there.
That's Just for Starters with the legendary Tom Kiefer today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
This is Talkin' Rock.
Talkin' Rock.
Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
There it is. Thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast on the Good One on deck for today with Tom Kiefer. Almost said Tom Morello.
Yeah,
maybe sometime in the future.
Maybe.
But
he's
not right now.
Coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Rage Against the Machine, of course, heading out on tour this year. And somebody just texted me or sent me a tweet or something about Rage Against the Machine. Mm-hmm. This is going to be great to see those guys back on tour. But I did one of the coolest things with Tom about a little over a year ago where we did like this storytelling thing on stage. I was on stage for like an hour and a half. It was awesome.
Yeah, where was that?
That was at a little club here in Southwest Detroit. It holds about 300 people. The place was jam-packed.
Right, yeah.
But I didn't start this podcast to talk about Tom Morello. Talking about Tom Kiefer today. As, of course, he's got the new record out, Rise. They got that tour coming up. Just all sorts of stuff going on with him. And then, of course, we've got rock news, and Janelle is off to my left. He's going to be pinch-hitting for Al Beck today.
Yes, sir.
Al Beck's been lazy. Lazy.
I mean, he's a busy fella.
He's not busy. He's just lazy. So, anyways, Jerry Cantrell talking about some new music, and that's exciting stuff right there. Another guy going to be looking forward to possibly another Vegas residency, of course. That seems to be the thing right now. The Vegas residencies. Mm-hmm. And concerts being canceled abound, and tours being canceled as far as, you know, the coronavirus thing. But one band says, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't care about the coronavirus.
No. So, they're defiant.
Right, exactly. So we'll get to that coming up here after Tom Kiefer. In the meantime, this interview was supposed to take place last week. And Tom actually called me up, and he says, look, man, all these tornadoes went through in Nashville last night. I'm kind of tired. Can we do this some other time? And, of course, I'm like, absolutely, dude. You know, he was you know, kind of, I think, mind-numbed a little bit from being awake all night and, you know, worrying about everything and stuff like that. So I did say, yeah, no problem. Let's do it. And so, true to his word, Tom gave me a call, rescheduled it, and here we are. And thought we'd start off the podcast by talking to Tom about the recent tornadoes and how him and his band and his family made out.
Well, you know, it was kind of a wild night here. We live on the west side of town, and it didn't really land in this area of town. Although when that's going on, you never know where they're going to land. But a lot of our folks, or most of our band and crew, we have a lot of friends that live over on the east side of town, and East side was really, really torn up, but fortunately all of our folks are okay. So, but it was a pretty sleepless night. You know, you kind of stay up and you watch the radar and see what else is coming. And you know, you have to run to the safe room and that kind of stuff. So, but it's pretty bad here, you know, but people are pulling together and starting to rebuild, but it was rough.
Yeah. Do you actually have one of those safe rooms in your house?
We just have like a room. It's kind of a closet that's back in our bedroom area. That's the most interior room
right.
of the house, you know, and that's where they always tell you to go. You know, we've got a few walls between you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny because like the longer we go here into the summer, I can't remember a summer that's had so many tours. It's like there's so many out there that people can go to this summer. So this whole summer is going to be filled with all sorts of concerts.
Yeah, I mean, every day I hear another one announcing. There was one yesterday announced yesterday.
I know. I was waiting for you guys to announce this one. I'm like, when are they going to announce this, in May? It's like,
yeah.
So no, that's cool. No,
we're really excited about it. It's going to be fun.
So you got the record rise that's been under your belt now for about 6 months, and I saw you a couple weeks back, and I got to tell you, for anyone that's never seen you live in concert since, you know, after Cinderella, the set list you guys put together is just incredible every single time. It never fails. Of course, you got all the Cinderella classics. You got your solo stuff in there as well. Talk a little bit about the set list and really what goes into that every night. Or is it kind of revolves around the same Cinderella songs and maybe sprinkling in some solo songs, or how's that work?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain Cinderella stuff, you know, that you know, are kind of staples in there that everybody wants to hear. And those are always in there. And then, you know, always kind of switch out a few album tracks, you know, or deeper cuts from the Cinderella stuff. Like lately, the last couple of years, we've been doing Long Cold Winter. And, you know, we've got Night Songs in there was always a favorite album track. And then, you know, the thing that changes from year to year is the solo stuff. And with the, you know, when we had The Way Life Goes out, you know, at over the years that we toured on that record, I think we played almost every song on the record in the set. We kept just changing them out, you know. But at any given time, about a third or more of the show is the solo stuff. I mean, you saw us a couple of weeks ago. We had a couple of things from The Way Life Goes still on the set, and I think four songs from Rise in there. So, yeah, but we usually mix those up.
Yeah, now with, of course, you know, you released Hype and all this stuff, and I tell you, man, that song rocks live as well. And, I mean, you know, as a musician, as a performer, you've got to be excited to have that new stuff in there as well, too.
Yeah, I love playing it. I love playing both. You know, it's a great feeling to be able to play the new stuff and have it go over. The title track of the album, Rise, has been going over live, you know, amazingly. They all are, The Death of Me. We opened the show with Touching the Divine, and that goes down killer as an opener, and now we've just added Hype, as you mentioned. So yeah, it's a great feeling to be able to play that stuff and be well received by the fans. And I always love playing the, you know, people ask me all the time, do you get tired of playing the Cinderella? And it's like, no, I love that stuff. I wrote the stuff, I sang it, it's a big part of me. It's, you know, it's, the fans love it, and I still love playing singing all the old stuff too. So it's great to be able to do both.
Yeah, and I'd imagine, you know, never having played a song on stage before, that you know, playing those Cinderella classics and stuff, the energy that you feed off the crowd just has to be intense, because when you start cranking up Shake Me and Gypsy Road and stuff, you just can't be up there like a dead fish. You got to feel the energy.
No, there's definitely a lot of energy in the room for sure. It's you know, the fans just put off this adrenaline and energy, and we feed off of it. It's, you know, it's a reciprocal kind of thing that happens, and it builds throughout the show. And that's the cool thing about a rock show.
Yeah. Now, talk about your band you put together, because this isn't just any band. I mean, when I go and see you guys after the show and stuff, there's band members coming through the bus. You guys, they sit down, they talk, you know, you guys are really like a family out there on the road, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we've been together since 2013, and yeah, it's just become, you know, I've said it many times, you know, it's rare, I think, you know, when a band just is really, has a chemistry on and off stage. You know, we just really get along incredibly well off stage in terms of friendship and also working together. And, you know, creating, now that we've made this record, went like beyond smooth, and it was just like, it was weird, you know, we were in there tracking, and there was very little like verbal communication, you know, it was just kind of like, it just kind of all happened, and it was, you know, it just there's just a chemistry. And yeah, we just get, it's great on and off stage is what I've always said. And we've been together now 8 years.
Yeah,
well, toured relentlessly. So when you spend a lot of time together in that tight space of a tour bus, you find out real quick whether you get along or not. we all get along like amazingly well. So,
well, I was going to say, it seems like you do get along, because I'm sure you've been in bands where it wasn't that smooth. But
yes, I have.
All right, we don't need to go there right now. But anyway, so you got some stuff coming up here. You're doing Monster of Rock Cruise next year, right, in 2021?
Yes. Yeah, that was announced not long ago. And Alice Cooper is going to be on that one. And we're really excited about it. So it's going to be great.
Yeah. And then you're going over to Europe, too, aren't you?
We're in Europe this summer.
Yeah.
Actually, between there's two legs with the big rock summer tour. One starts in June and goes for a few weeks, and then we all break, and we're going over to Europe, and I believe Rat's going over there too. We actually have some shows with Rat over in Europe as well, and then we come back, and it picks up again after that in August.
Yeah, well, that's cool. You got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm so glad to see you out there just banging away out there on the road, because you know, I've seen you, I think, three times in the last year, and the show is always awesome, even though I'm 5'6" and couldn't see your wife on stage for don't know what you got till it's gone, but that kind of stuff happens.
Well,
I guess
that place was packed that night.
I thought you were changing things around. I'm like, wait a second, I'm way in the back and I didn't see her, so that's my fault. But hey, let me ask you some questions, like maybe this is your life type of thing. So, I mean, who are some of your favorite like singer songwriters? Like what you do? Who do you admire?
Well, the king is Mick Jagger. You know, I mean, I grew up on him. He's one of the first rock things I've ever heard as a kid. And I just think that there's not anybody that's ever touched him. You know, he's beyond prolific and still doing it. You know, and the Stones, you know, they still make great records. You know, I know everyone goes to see them live and all, but they still, you know, every record they've ever put out has just been, you know, great, you know, incredible lyrics. And so he's probably my favorite.
Yeah. And I was talking to you earlier before we got on, like, you know, I might be down in Nashville coming up here, and Kid Rock is like, you know, and people won't be rolling their eyes or whatever, but he is a singer songwriter. Like every, you know, of course, obviously back in the day he had the metal rock hip hop type thing, but his last few records have been very like soulful and kind of a blues centric. Is there anything like in anybody in the last like maybe 20 years that you would say that you've admired from afar? And being down in Nashville, there's got to be a lot of guys you've probably looked up to, eh?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many songwriters here that are amazing. I can't even. I mean, I'll draw a blank because there's so many.
Yeah.
You mentioned Kid Rock, and I mean he's an amazing artist. I mean, the versatility of what he does. And, you know, we were actually on the bill with him at Rocklahoma a couple of years back. And we were all on the side of the stage watching him perform. And it was truly amazing. It's the first time I had seen him play. And the band is just top notch musicians. He's got an incredible band. His voice is just so great, and he's just a great entertainer. And, you know, the artistry of what he does, you know, the diverse range of it is pretty amazing. So, yeah, I think he's great. And, you know, I'll tell you, I think out of rock bands, you know, I've said this a lot. You asked for someone in the last 20 years. I love Hailstorm.
Mm, yeah.
And I think Lizzie is an incredible songwriter. And, you know, obviously the voice is unbelievable. And the whole band, in terms of the records that they produce and write and create, are very creative and really, really great song.
And she's got a kick-ass guitar.
Yes, she does. She's got quite a few, actually.
Right. And but, that one, of course, you bring on stage. Yeah, that's cool, man. That's
cool. Yeah, she gave me that as a gift. That was pretty cool.
So let me ask you about this. Spinal Tap or Decline of the Western Civilization? Which way do you lean?
You know, I've never seen Decline of the Western Civilization.
Really? Wow. So I guess it'd be Spinal Tap.
So I'm going to have to go with Spinal Tap. Which, you know, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, it's just hilarious.
Yeah, that was definitely a classic back in the day. So here's one for you. What band from the 80s do you think should have had more success?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know all the stats on everyone of what they've sold or whatever, you know, I don't, so it's hard to say. Not sure.
All right. So we'll try this one here for you. So of course, you know, now it's the documentaries with, you know, the Dirt or even some of these movies and stuff. Who do you think should make a documentary of their band? Who would you like to see? How about that?
I think Guns N' Roses would probably be an interesting documentary. If there hasn't been one already, I don't know. But that certainly was one of my favorites from the era. And I think there was definitely an interesting dynamic there and just an incredible band. I'm sure there's quite a story there.
Yeah. Did you ever get to tour with them or play with those guys back in the day?
I don't think we were ever on a bill. We did the Farm Aid show I was on with, the one that Mellencamp put on every year to raise money for the farmers. They were on it the year that I was on it. It wasn't Cinderella, it was just me. Mm-hmm. I sang with Mellencamp's band and did a couple songs. I've seen them live several times, and we were on that bill together. That's the only show I've ever been on with them.
Well, where does that rank as far as highlights of your career singing on stage with Mellencamp in a filled stadium?
That was a pretty cool gig. I didn't actually sing with John. His band backed me up, and I did Over, the Janis Joplin cover of Move Over that we did, and I did Love Hurts with Joanna Dean. I don't know if you remember her from Bad Romance. Mm. We did that as a duet. And it was really cool because I always loved Mellencamp, and I really loved his band. I thought he had just such a great rock and roll band, so it was really fun to have them, to be playing with them or singing with them behind me, so it was cool.
What are your thoughts or your memories about the Moscow Music Peace Festival?
That was just an incredible event to be a part of. I always people say what's the highlight of your career? I mean, there's been so many, but I always list that as one of them because it was such kind of like the Woodstock of, for them over there. It was just this, rock stadium show that kind of just showed up in Moscow and did two shows back to back. And it's not something they were used to seeing. So the electricity in the air and the enthusiasm and excitement was just incredible. The energy was amazing.
Yeah. And that time too, 1989, that was probably the peak for Cinderella, wasn't it?
No, we had a Heartbreak Station came after that.
And
we got a big headline tour after that, and Shelter Me had been released, and that was a big song for us. So we were kind of in the midst of nonstop touring when we did the Moscow Music Peace Festival, and it just seemed like we never stopped.
Yeah, it's funny. You were just talking about, Heartbreak Station and stuff, but it's like, obviously songs are a snapshot in time. But when you're talking on some of those songs like the PMRC and the preachers and stuff, some of these kids nowadays probably never heard of half of those people that are on that song.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's interesting.
Tammy and Jim Baker, right? Yeah. The whole thing.
That was the one vignette that's in there, and then there's the one at Tipper Gore. Changing the channel on MTV because she was the one that led the charge with the PMRC. So that was a very lyrically something that in terms of when you break it down to the individual kind of scenes in that were very period, but I think the overall message was that thing about not judging people, because usually the people who are judging others the hardest are the ones who are guilty of nefarious things themselves. So
yeah, we've seen a lot of that in the this country in this time too. So
yes, sir.
So hey, anyways, real fast here, we'll wrap things up with you, Tom. Thanks again for the time and for calling. But so you got your European tour, like you said, you got the Monsters of Rock. You got any songs? Got any lyrics? Got any riffs rattling around in your head for another record?
Nothing right now. We're so focused on recording Rise, which took us about 6 months straight, round the clock of insane. Lots of coffee and sleepless nights. And then we got that released and, toured pretty much nonstop last year after it came out and took a break over the holidays. And we're back at it with probably a bigger tour itinerary than we've we've had yet. I mean, we're pretty booked pretty solid this year, so there hasn't been much time to be writing. But that's okay. That's usually how I do it. It kind of comes in seasons, you know. So
yeah,
the ideas will start to float back into the old brain here soon.
Hey, by the way, what is it like to be a rock star dad of a young soccer player?
It's just being a dad.
Man. That's right.
You know, that's my role there is just under the dad. So we keep things very down to earth here and kind of normal. And our greatest joy is following him around to all his events and cheering him on. So.
Yeah, one of my friends who won many a Stanley Cup told me one time, he says, I would trade anything in the world just to watch my own kids play. And I'm like, even the stuff you did, he goes, absolutely. And I didn't understand that because at the time my kid was like one or something, you know. And now it's like, now that my kid's 17, I totally get it, you know. It's fun to watch those kids.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, absolutely. So. It's the greatest joy. It is.
Well, I don't venture too far away from my house, especially an hour to see any band, but I love seeing you guys play, and I don't talk to anybody on my birthday, but I'm talking to you, so there you go.
That's right. Rob told me, happy birthday.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. All right, Tom. Well, listen, man.
I was going to do that. I'll tell you what happened today. If I seem a little kind of out of it, I had a crazy day and night the previous night, and I didn't get any sleep. There was a lot leading up to the tour announcement yesterday and just a lot of chaos, and didn't sleep the night before. And I screwed up and set my alarm today for PM. I woke up 15 minutes before I got on the phone with you. I'm still having my coffee. So if I seem a little bit out of it, but yeah, I was pretty tired last night when I went to bed, and I hit the wrong. I believe I hit PM. I haven't even checked it yet to see what I did because I just woke up at quarter of, and I was like, "Holy crap! Why didn't my alarm go off at 8? So
yeah, we've all been there. Well, you know, it's always great to talk to you and catch up, and I love all the stuff, of course, and you treat me so well when we see you out there on the road, and thanks for everything.
Oh, it's always great to see you. Always great to see you, my friend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, joining us today for Rock News, it's my old friend Janelle. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I guess Al Beck is off doing nerd radio like he does sometimes.
Yeah, that's become quite an endeavor for them, huh?
I guess.
Yeah.
So I've been pimped out for that. So, I've got some rock news here. Not a whole lot. First of all, have you ever seen Tom Kiefer live?
I've seen Tom Kiefer live with Cinderella. As a matter of fact, Tom Kiefer was the first rock band I've seen live because Cinderella opened for Bon Jovi back in 87.
Oh, there you go.
And that was my first concert. Yeah.
I want to say I might have saw that tour as well. But yeah, I saw Cinderella open up for tons of bands back in the late 80s. It was always like, I always felt like Cinderella never really achieved the success of, like, you know, the Motley Crues and the Bon Jovis and some of the other, you know, bands from that era. Mm-hmm. But like, it was always like, you know, Cinderella and Rat and some other bands were kind of always opening up.
Yeah,
you know?
They were right there, you know? Yeah, for sure.
So, but anyway, so one of my favorites, I used to love how they used to, you know, they used to flip their guitars around their backs.
Man, yeah, dude. I mean, that was style and flair.
Yeah, style and flair. They had it all, the flash and flair. But, you know, you watch videos of people trying to do that guitar gimmick on YouTube, and it just goes all wrong.
There's some funny fails.
Yeah, there's some guitars flying through windows and speakers and different things like that.
People getting smashed in the face with them is easily the best.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And of course, you know, sometimes your guitar strap doesn't really hold strong and, you know, away it goes. So anyways, Tom Kiefer, always great to see live in concert and that record. You said you hadn't heard it yet, huh?
I haven't heard Rise yet. No, I heard his first one, not first one, I should say.
Yeah, but The Way Life Goes.
Right,
yeah.
Before that, The Way Your Life Goes. And yeah, that fantastic stuff, man. I like him as a songwriter. You know, he's a rocker. Good interview.
Yeah, hoping to see him coming up here at the end of the month here in Nashville. But anyway, speaking of great songwriters, Jerry Cantrell might be working on some stuff, I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He went to Instagram and had posted a picture of some guitar racks, and it said, "It's time to rock, R-A-A-W-W-K, you know.
Of course.
Some sign of the horns emojis on that post. But this would mark his second solo album. His first one came out in 2002, of course, Degradation Trip. And that one had Robert Trujillo on there. He had Mike Bordin from Faith No More on there. So interesting to see what Jerry comes up with this time, who he has playing on it as well.
Yeah, Jerry Cantrell, you know, it's funny because, you know, for years it's like, you know, Alice in Chains and the whole thing. And then when Layne Staley died, I want to say in 2002, it really became clear that that Jerry Cantrell was Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
You know, with the songwriting and the harmonies and everything else he did.
Yeah.
And I just love it when they're up on stage, and I just saw him last summer, and he's like, yeah, that's Sean Kitty, and that's Mike Inez, and that's, you know, William, and I'm Jerry Cantrell, and we're Alice in Chains. It's like, yes.
Yeah,
he kind of does that all the time. It's almost like this Motorhead type of thing.
Right, but, right.
You know, we're Motorhead, and we play rock and roll. But Jerry Cantrell, definitely one of my favorites. I've had the privilege and the pleasure to meet and interview him a couple times, but a really good guy right there. Another good guy, Sammy Hagar. And Sammy's kind of going the route that some of these other rockers are going as well, with that Vegas residency.
Yeah, he's just the latest, you know. So he's planning to launch a Vegas residency at the Strat Hotel, which is the former Stratosphere Hotel out there.
Okay.
He's looking to start it up in June.
Wait, at the very end? At the end of the Strip?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The Stratosphere. Okay.
Yeah,
I got you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So the performances will be a lot like his Cabo Wabo Cantina birthday parties that happened down in Cabo San Lucas. And just the latest in so many people doing that, because that's Vegas in this day and age. You know what I mean? So your favorite rock band all week long.
Yeah. And it's always easier for those guys too, because then you don't got to travel.
No.
And another cool thing about this is that those fans that go up to show at those shows, of course, there's going to be fans from, you know, the area, right? But there's a lot of fans that come in, they're diehards, that will come in for those shows.
Yeah.
And so you're actually in a crowd of people with diehard fans of whatever band you want to see. I know Scorpions are doing it coming up here in July with Queensryche opening up. And Sammy Hagar has a lot of diehard fans.
Yeah.
The Redheads or whatever they call themselves.
Is there anybody you would fly out to see for a Vegas residency?
Man, you know,
who would it have to be?
I don't know. I've seen Vegas residencies out there with Guns N' Roses back in the day.
Oh, you went to that?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, when it wasn't with Slash in it.
No, right.
Before that. It was like 2012 or something.
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw Nine Inch Nails at a Vegas residency at the Joint.
No way.
Yeah, that was really kick-ass. I wouldn't take much for me to, I'd like to see Metallica or something like that, obviously. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, man. It would take, I can't even think of anybody right off the bat. I'd because everybody's coming through town.
Yeah. You know we have so many concerts.
So there's not anybody that I'd be desperate enough to, if that was your only chance to see them is to go to Vegas, maybe that'd be it.
You know, Sammy Hagar, though, is so much fun, and he does, like, so many just cool things. And he is, like, I was interviewing Joe Satriani last week, and I said, you know, it's got to be tough working with, you know, Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony and Chad Smith. And, you know, we know Chad Smith around here because, you know, he's from here.
Right.
And Chad's awesome. And it's like, you know, those guys are just so great. So, but Sammy also canceling some dates down in South America.
Yeah, a lot of people are, Meltdown.
Yeah, due to this coronavirus. But he's not the only one. What else we got?
No, he sure isn't. You know, not only is Sammy canceling shows, but everybody from Green Day to Slipknot to Trivium to Testament canceling their shows. Pearl Jam postponed their North American tour. Coachella, which of course is going to be featuring Rage Against the Machine, has been postponed. They pushed that to October.
Right.
Kiss has canceled all their meet and greets on their tour. You know
well,
I mean?
The guys from Kiss are older.
Yes, they are. So people are definitely taking precautions. That could you know, something of a dent in the 2020 concert season.
Well, you know it's serious when Gene Simmons is giving up money.
Absolutely. Isn't that the truth? I'm sorry.
When Gene Simmons says, I don't need the money, let's cancel it, you know, it's like, you know it's serious.
You'd think he'd invest in a Pope-mobile. He could just, you know, kind of wave.
That would be funny.
To,
yeah, the Pope-mobile. That would be. Yeah, yeah. The Gene-mobile. Yeah.
Yeah, keep Gene safe, will you? One band that's got a middle finger for the coronavirus is called Magnum.
Of course they are.
Are you familiar with their work, Meltdown?
I'm not familiar with the band. Of course, the condoms I'm, of course, all too familiar with.
Of course. Well, the band, they rock hard as well. And they're not giving up. They're an English band. They're an English hard rock band. And they've got a UK and Ireland tour coming up in March. And then they've got a European tour scheduled. And they're not canceling it. They took to Facebook and encouraged their fans and, quote, every human being around the world to not fall into the trap of allowing fear and misinformation surrounding the virus to prevent them from living their lives to the fullest.
And what happens like in June when this thing is kind of blown over and, you know, could it be the guys from Magnum could be the ones who really foresaw what was going on?
The voices of reason who ended that Facebook post with F coronavirus.
That's right. And now, is it Magnum spelled with like a Y in there somewhere? You no, got it. You got
nothing
it.
Nothing cool like that. Okay. But Magnum, we were talking about Gene Simmons being older. Those guys are older too. The average age is around 60 for that band.
Really?
They've been around since the early 70s.
I did not know that.
The two of their members, the singer and guitarist, are in their 70s.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. So Magnum. All right. There you go.
It's Magnum's time.
Right? And what else you got?
Speaking of times, let's see here.
Yeah, there it is. Yep.
Keith, yeah, we're going to edit this to make me sound smarter.
No, we're not.
There's a producer, Keith Olsen. Perhaps you've heard him. He's produced probably some albums that you've heard from Ozzy, from Whitesnake, Eddie Money, Grateful Dead, even Scorpions. He passed away, unfortunately, and what a career this guy had, man. When he worked on over 120 albums over the decades, and he's got 39 gold albums, 24 platinum albums, 14 multi-platinum albums. He also won 6 Grammy Awards. And a really cool story I read about him was that he was actually the guy that turned Mick Fleetwood on to Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks.
Really?
Yes. He produced Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks' solo album or a duo album that they made together. He played the final track of that album for Mick Fleetwood when he came to visit him at Sound City, that studio in California,
yeah,
which, of course,
one, yeah.
They made the documentary about. And that's where Mick Fleetwood first heard Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, and later, of course, they joined the band.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah, you know, Keith Olsen, I got to be honest, I never really heard that much about him.
Yeah.
It was just Rick Rubin's birthday the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, talk about a guy that just produces hit records.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from Rage to Slayer to Chili Peppers to Johnny Cash to Kid Rock. That guy's worked all over the spectrum.
He really has.
Anyways, speaking of birthdays, it was mine. And thank you for everyone for
happy birthday. Dude.
Nobody said happy birthday. All right, Jadal. Hey, listen, man, thanks so much for pinch hitting there for Al Beck today.
I appreciate having me, dude.
And at Meltdown WREF, if you want to hit me up on the socials at Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, feel free to hit me up. And thank you so much for listening. This is the first time we've done this podcast on a different platform. So I'm hoping it sounds okay for you guys. And as always, 5-star ratings if you've made it this far. You can write your ratings down on Apple, iTunes, the whole thing. But most importantly, thanks so much for checking it out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.